Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
How are you, Gio?
Fine, thank you. Hello.
Strangely enough, or not strangely, I suppose, you went out to Australia, what, 7, 8 years ago?
A working session out of Burgundy, and so I chose to go to Australia because I know there were new world wine to improve my English for the future, because I'm doing more than...
And some other things, which we won't talk about. But French winemakers going to New Zealand, Australia, and New Zealand winemakers coming over here and all that. There's quite a lot of cross-fertilization. And was it part of your enology degree?
Yes, at the end, I had to do that before getting established. My cooper introduced me, Mr. Merieux, as you, the one you met this morning.
Oh, yeah.
He had some Australian people who wanted to import his barrels in Australia, and wanted to show the quality of the wines produced in their barrel. And so they came here. We had, and the thing is that they are Burgundy passionate. They've got a little domain, like just 8 hectares in Australia, which is quite small, but with all the new technologies, like temperature control, and I learned over there how to work with these new technologies. And 10 years after my travel over there, 2010 is my first vintage with which is very useful. The temperature will be stable and without any pikes during all the winemaking, which is much better for the wines. And that you need to pump the wine through a machine like a cooler, and then it will cool the wines and it goes back to the tank or to the vat. And so if you want to cool down a vat from 32 to 28, you will have to pump. You just pump the juice, because we've got something to avoid pumping the pips and the skins. But the thing is that you aerate your wine. So if you, when you aerate your wine, if the wine is not protected, is like in the middle of the fermentation.
Leaving the wines lying on the lees for extended periods inside the barrels, was that something you picked up from Australia?
I picked that up from other friends, winemakers in Burgundy. But actually in Australia, they used to do the, where I was, they used to do the same, but for just 12 or 13 months long aging. Here we do, since 2002, I leave the wines on CD because the leaves will feed the wines with a lot of aromas and flavors, and they will keep some freshness to the wines, and they will bring some fatness as well. So in CO2, so it's like a natural protection, and so you don't have to add a lot of sulfur. So it's like a natural protection, and at the end, when I rack my wines before the bottling and to blend them, I give a strong aeration. The wines fall from 2 meters high, so at 16, 18 degrees. And like this, you get rid of all the gas you don't need. And you, the oxygen you bring to the wines will wake up the wines and give some energy.
Margaret River you went, wasn't it?
No, it was in Pemberton, actually. Okay. It was a domain in Margaret River, but they sold it because they just wanted to produce... they wanted to focus on Chardonnay and Pinot Noir because they are Burgundy lovers. And so they moved to Pemberton. And that's why over there I worked with... I made wine with Pinot Noir, with Chardonnay, with some Merlot, some Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, and some Shiraz. So for me, it was a great opportunity because... I had a look how you can make this different variety of grapes that you can find in different places in France. The things I noticed for Pinot Noir compared to Burgundy is that to get a good phenolic maturity, so the tannins and the color flavors, you need to go higher in alcohol. So it means to have the same kind of extraction, you need to go most of the times to up to 14 degrees or sometimes a bit more.
I've seen that in New Zealand, Central Otago, the alcohols are 14.5%. Mm-hmm. They are big, heavy, blackcurrant wines, almost as big as an Aussie Shiraz sometimes. But some people say that's a function of just young vines, and as the vine ages, you'll get flavour at lower alcohols. Is that your opinion?
When the vines are very young, then you don't get the same extraction, so you don't have the same weight. But the problem, if you want to extract, as we said, in Australia, for example, or New Zealand, you must go higher in alcohol. So yeah, your wine will be heavier. And for Pinot Noir, you must keep a delicate part because Pinot Noir must be very feminine and elegant and don't have big shoulders like Shiraz or Cabernet. That's why in Burgundy we've got very good climate to produce Pinot Noir. Very, very good.
I've been in Burgundy now for 3-4 days and it's rained the whole time in July. This is great climate, is it? This is not holiday weather.
But this year we should have a great August month and then we will recover everything and we will make the greatest vintage of the century.
I'll hold you to that. I have my doubts, mate.
No, but nothing is done now. We still have 40, 45 days before the picking. So if the weather is fine in August, should be fine.
Some French producers will say, oh, Australia makes Coca-Cola wines, you know, a bit of a formulaic type thing. Was that your experience out there or how did you find the winemaking and the approach to wine?
No, me, where I was, people worked well. They didn't do funny things with the wines. I've just seen traditional winemaking, but as I told you, these people used to came to Domaine de la Pousse d'Or in Volnay, in France, in Burgundy, every year because they were friends with the owners to make wines and do the winemakings every September. If you want, in their mind, they are more Burgundian than Australian. So they always gave a lot of care to make a very good quality. And my boss over there, we went to few wineries and
so we won't labor too long on that, but we did a podcast or a couple of podcasts with a barrel maker called Me You a wee while ago, and looking around your cellar here, you've got quite a few of their barrels here. Do you want to just give us an overview on why you select their barrels or other barrels, and what's running through your mind when you're choosing to buy barrels for your wines?
I take like 80-85% of my barrels, take 100% at this place. But me, I didn't change a little bit of quantity. So Allier is a region in center of France, which will give some... the oak from Allier will give a lot of finesse and elegance to the wine. And the oak from Les Vosges, so in northeast of France, near Germany, will give like Pinot Noir. When you grow Pinot Noir in Burgundy or in Australia, you will not get the same taste because of the terroir and the climate. And it's the same for the oak. Oak from center of France, from Burgundy, from Alsace, or from America will not have the same taste at all, not give the same taste. So me, I try to have a bit of both. For everything, a lot of complexity. I'm looking for complexity as much as I can. And the different toast will smell more just the wood, let more the fruit express by itself. So it's a mix of everything but this comes from the toast because when you toast the wood, the toasted flavors will give, sometimes can smell like crispy bacon. But this is more for...
They say that one of the age characteristics is bacon. That you reckon that's more of a Shiraz type flavor from your Australia?
I think so. It's more for Shiraz type, yeah. The meaty character is more for Shiraz and crispy bacon as well.
Okay. All right then. I think